awesome message from our teachers. I just really want to thank them this year because I'm sure a lot of you have noticed that we had a bunch of first-time speakers and teachers and first-time testimonies. And not only that, but they did it in the year of 2020. I'm just saying. Okay. So in just a few minutes, I'm going to introduce my mom, who most of y'all know is the main speaker of the session. But before I do, I just wanted to talk to y'all about something that God had put on my heart. And I think a good title would be Weapons to Slay Your Five Kings. And five weapons to slay your kings. And before I talk about that, I want to kind of talk about how this came about. This year, one of my 2020 goals was to read the whole Bible, which I haven't done in a long time because a lot of y'all know my personality type, and I like to jump places, and that's kind of how I talk. So that's how I kind of read, too. But I said, you know, I'm going to read it from the beginning to the end because every once in a while, that's just a good thing to do if you're trying to learn the Word of God and put some meat on your bones. So I was listening to Deuteronomy, which is the story of Moses, and I noticed something when it was towards the end, and I'm going to be talking about Moses and Joshua. I noticed that towards the end, something kept repeating, which was a verse. I'm not going to share it yet. And I was like, why did they just say that? They just said that like 8 scriptures up. And it was like the words were like verbatim. I was like, okay, weird. Scroll over. Start reading another chapter a few chapters later, the exact same verse I notice is there. And I was like, okay. And then a few chapters later, the exact same verse again. And I was like, okay, this is really important. It sounds simple. Not really sure why. I find it interesting. But before I share that, and that was my thought, you know, back then when I was reading it, I want to talk about Moses and Joshua and the differences, you know, because then this made me start to think, well, Moses and Joshua were both leaders, but they were both very different leaders. And to me, it made me think of the people in the church, how important it is that we have different type of leaders for different type of seasons. And we have leaders that run different ministries, but all of this is of God's, you know, and how would we be able to operate and function as a church family if there all were 100, well, just use me, 100 Brooks? It wouldn't work out well. I talk a lot, and apparently my husband told me that I suck the life out of people like a vampire because I just talk and talk and talk. Okay. And then we got people like me and Julia. Poor Julia, she has to put up with me a lot. She is a very well organizer. Who can say that Julia is one of the best organizers, you know? She is. And then we have people like me that like to talk and talk and talk and like to throw something out there. And then she brings me back down and be like, well, we got to do these things first before you can do this. And I'm like, okay, okay. So we gel well. And that's what I'm saying. Like, us to work as a church family, we need to be in unity and accept each other's strengths because we're all different. And you cannot do everything. Not one person cannot do everything, okay? It's just impossible. So, back to Joshua and Moses. I noticed that Moses, throughout the story, he's a relationship person. You know, he's going up to the mountain. He's talking to God. God gets mad with the people. God's ready to, like, kill him. And Moses is like, no, don't kill the people. You know, he's, you know, really concerned about relationship. They're trying to figure all this out because they just, you know, came out, and now they're in the wilderness, and he's trying to navigate as a leader, and there's a lot to learn. And then you got someone, you know, like Joshua, where if you've ever read Joshua, and I can't, you know, read the whole thing, obviously, but, you know, he really is like a warrior. He is like the Navy SEAL of his time. He is one person that I probably wouldn't want to mess with, because he means business. And he, to me, one of his biggest strengths is obedience, because he always listened to the Lord. I noticed that, we'll get to in a minute. But something I want to talk about before that is Joshua, when Moses sends the spies go into the promised land to see if they can overtake it. Y'all know the story. Come back. It's Caleb and Joshua, they're optimistic, and they're like, we can take it. And I can only imagine all the negative people sitting there like, no, we can't. There's giants in the land, and it's not happening. And I can only see the deflation probably in their minds and in their face, like, really? Like, I thought that this is what God called us to come out of and to go into this. But it didn't happen right then. So there's differences there, you know, but Moses, and I'm about to read this scripture here, and this is the time that Moses was passing on his ministry, or his, and let me tell you something about ministry, you know, while I'm sitting here thinking about this. Ministry is not yours. It is God's, okay? It's never ours, okay? That is something that God owns, and it's so important that we remember that when we're in the church and we're dealing with people, is that how, you know, what does God want us to do? Because this is God's, this is not mine, not what do I want to do? Because we're all human, and sometimes our flesh rises up, and, you know, I get it, we all mess up. So, but anyways, okay, so let me get my papers. So I don't know if any of y'all know the story, but the last time I talked, I had a cheap notebook, and I didn't do that this time. I have it all, like, laid out, because I couldn't turn my page, and I completely freaked out because I didn't know what I was going to say next. So I got that going for me. Ah, okay. Okay, so I'm going to read this. I don't chop it up. Let me make sure I'm reading the right thing. All right. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And so I noticed then a few scriptures down, it kind of repeats itself again. And it says, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto all the elders of Israel. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. All right. So I was like, well, that's interesting. They just pretty much, and I did not repeat this in the first be strong, but he also says, then Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark. That was the same thing up on the top too, I noticed. And I was like, why did he say that twice when we just heard it. So, like we know anything. So, be strong, and here we are. Now we're in Joshua 1, 6 through 9. So, Moses is no longer the leader. Here we are with Joshua. Joshua heard from the Lord three times and delivered three different ways to be strong and of good courage. So here we are again. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whether so thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Once again, here we go. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Then something caught my attention as I was listening. And it said, and then, nope, just kidding, not yet. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, so then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for with 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan to go and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. All right. Then we get down to the end of chapter 1. And it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord giveth you to possess. And then it says, oh my word, I've lost my paper. Okay, here we go. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. And I thought, well, it's not like they have an option here, aka get it together and go. And so I thought, you know, you got two options here. You can either die anyway, or die with the Lord, or maybe not die at all. I mean, you know, these are your options. Like, I would rather, I think, be with the Lord on a bad day than not be with the Lord and do what he's asked me to do at this point. I mean, it sounds like I don't really have a choice here, even though, and this is where I would call it obedience, because sometimes we still need to have obedience and do what the Lord has asked us to do, even though that's not what we feel inside. Because sometimes you feel scared and you feel like you can't do it. Well, you can't do it, but you can do it with the Lord. So we go down. Let me try to hurry up and shorten the story a little bit. So we go down and in Joshua 1:10, he's at battle, you know, he's slaying, he's got his other Navy SEALs with him, and there's some bad kings coming, five of them, and they know they're in this spot, and he says, go put them in the cave and roll a stone where they can't get out. I'll deal with these people later. I ain't got time. I'm in battle right now. So he sends his people down there, gets them in the cave, and rolls a big stone where they cannot get out. So finally, Joshua is done doing another battle, and he comes. And I guess this was really significant for me because they were talking about the cave, and the cave was a place of darkness, okay? And so when Joshua gets there, he commands his officers and chief to roll back the stone and take out the five kings. And when the officers took out the five kings, he commanded them to put them on the ground and step on their neck. And I thought, well, this is pretty brutal stuff that they're doing to these people. And my thought was, is how many times do you hear that we have a stronghold that we need to, like, take charge of or, like, grab? How many here want to be able to be strong to grab the stronghold? I don't know about y'all, but I want to be strong enough to be able to grab whatever stronghold is holding me back to doing what God is wanting me to do. So then it dawned on me, right here. Or it didn't dawn on me because I can't find my paper. All right, so let me just go ahead and read this really quick. I'm going to read it right here. It says, "Come near, put your feet upon the neck of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening." And my thought is, you know, a lot of times we hear of giants that are in our life, okay? And these giants are what, you know, you would call strongholds. And I'm like, well, what? Why would they, you know, there was something about the word king that, you know, impressed me. I was like, well, what would a king do? And I'm like, oh, yes, a king rules. A king rules over our life. Well, I can say, I don't know about y'all, how many times have we had to try to get out the king, something that rules over our life, that makes us distracted from what God wants us to do? And then in that moment, I realized that how powerful, the reason why Joshua won these battles, and the only reason, is because it was prophesied into existence. And then he had the power of words, the power of speaking that into existence. And I truly believe that's why Joshua was the warrior that he was, is because he, after that, he slayed like 31 kings. And that's all you hear throughout Joshua. I mean, they went to one place so they could possess the land. And sometimes for us inside, sometimes there are things that we need to slay and get rid of. So this is my thought. Five weapons to slay your king. Relationship. We know that you have to have a relationship with God, right? That's the only way. So, when I pray to God, something that I pray for almost every day is, God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, okay? Because one thing, I want to see what God has for me in my life, because it might be something that my flesh doesn't want to see. So that's important. I need to see that. I need to hear. I need to hear what God is saying to me. You have to be able to obey his voice. And that's exactly what Joshua did. He heard it. It was learned. And it happened. Faith. We have to have faith. Well, obviously we believe in God if we're talking to him. Or we have to somewhat believe that he's real, right? That has to have faith. Obedience. Obedience. Well, guess what? Having faith and obedience is a lot easier if you have a relationship with God, okay? That's why it's so important that we do this every day. Prophesying, okay? I'm going to share something really quick. Brother Sutton and Brother Stephen have been talking about prophesying a lot lately. I'm sure you've noticed. And something really struck out to me one night. He was hitting hard on prophesying and speaking what God wants us to do to existence. You know, we want to have the revival of 1,000 people, okay? We want our church to be strong and of good courage, okay? We need to be strong. We have to be strong. It's not optional. Or we cannot possess the land or the people that God has promised us, the great revival, okay? So I was sitting in the back, and when he said that, and he said, I want you to prophesy right now, and he said, he would say something, and we would repeat it. I can't remember what it was, and I thought, you know, when's the last time I prophesied something into existence? Like, I pray, you know, and I travail, but I haven't, like, really been, like, forceful with it. I'm not walking throughout the day saying, this is who we are. This is who I am. I'm a child of God. We will have a soul revival of 10,000 people. I mean, when you say that, that's powerful. When you speak out loud what God wants us to do, that's a powerful, our words are so powerful. However, it also works the other way. If we keep silence, silence can be poisonous and deadly, and we can not do what God wants us to do. And I think that when we don't speak things into existence, that just maybe it might not happen, because God gives us a will and a choice, and he wants us to learn how to use his weapons. So we had a prayer meeting that Sister Christy and Sister Jessica had put together, and it was right after Brother Sutton had preached that, and it was a very powerful prayer meeting. It was the first one it's been a while, you know, because we've all been in COVID season, and it felt really good to, you know, get out and pray with all the ladies. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to utilize speaking things into existence. So I started praying for our church family, you know, to be strong and to have courage, because this is the stuff that God's been dealing with me about. And, you know, praying that we have that 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 soul revival. And when I started praying, I was in the back, and there wasn't just me praying. It was many ladies praying out loud, and it was so powerful. And I was sitting there praying, and the vision came to me of a lion paw, and this lion paw was huge. You could tell by the paw that this was just a big lion, and the paw, when it went into the sand, it would kick up desert dust. And it would come back like really slow, and then it would do it again. And I kept seeing this over and over and over again. And this is when it was really loud, and there was women travailing and speaking in tongues, and they were prophesying. And I said, the lion, that lion is the Lion of Judah, and here we are in here kicking up dust. We're stirring something up in the spirit. We're attacking our enemies. We're praying for our saints. We're putting hedge of protection around our church, because this is what we're called to do. We have to take action and use and utilize these tools. So the next thing, my last one, is consistency and repetition, which is exactly, the repetition is exactly what I heard about: be strong and have courage and not have fear nor be dismayed. And it was so profounding to me to think, you know, this also goes along, is it matters what we do. Consistency every day, it matters what we do every day. These little small things that you think have no significance is a big deal. In fact, that may be the only thing that can make something big, is being consistent in the things that you know to do. And I don't know about y'all, but this is what I feel for our church. It is so important right now, because this is a season, a tough season, being in 2020, probably going to continue into 2021. I'm not saying that to be some doomsday. I'm saying that so we as his people are prepared to use the weapons that he's given us. And I want to be prepared, and I don't want to be caught off guard, and I want to do what God has called me to do. And how much stronger, and what can God do if we're all using the weapons that he's given us? Something else real quick, and then I'll let you go. Also in that vision that I had and God revealed to me is that if I give you a weapon, and I immediately had a picture of a gun in my head, okay? And the gun, someone handed me a gun, and I don't know how to use it. What good is it going to do if I don't know how to use it? Well, it's the same for God's weapons. We have to practice and learn how to use it. And so I just encourage you for this year, the rest of 2020 and into 2021, that we are here together. We are a church family, and we are going to do whatever it takes to have that 5,000 people revival, okay? We're going to use our weapons, and we are going to prevail and be strong. And now, my beautiful mother, a.k.a. Sister Gina,